Well, that brings me beautifully to my next question, Josh, which is how Third Eye Stimuli Records came about.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few things that kind of made us sort of start it. I guess it was, like I said, feeling this sense of community kind of building, whether it was through the Bandcamp thing or just in the physical space in Sydney and, like, at the gigs and stuff, like, feeling like there was other bands that had the same kind of, vision of, like, what they were trying to do and, like, I think seeing other bands also kind of wanting to feel supported, not really knowing what to do. And we just really wanted to sort of like help everyone sort of, just to help each other out really. But then also what inspired it and kind of helped direct what we were going to try and do was just, we got into the, the Black Angels was kind of like a gateway into their whole scene in Austin, which was like, they had Austin Psych Fest.
That's right.
Which we went to back in like 2012 2013. Yeah.
They would have the most incredible lineup.
So good. Yeah. Pretty much just all the bands that we loved at that time, like, we're just obsessed with.
Yeah.
And we just go to that festival and just see all of them in the one thing, and it was just like the best thing ever. But it also just, it just showed how powerful that like community was, and what they'd kind of created there was so unique.
Wow.
And it was also, we kind of coincidentally discovered Burger Records when we were there as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just met some girls that were wearing their badges and stuff and were just like, on Burger Records is so cool, like, you should go check it out. And we're like, all right. And so when we went to LA, we stopped in at their shop and it was just cool just to walk in there and see this cool store, and they had all just tape cassettes, and no one was really doing tapes like in Australia or anything at that time. Like,
wow.
They were fully just pioneering the whole like tape revival thing, and it just was super cool to see. And
yeah,
and they were having gigs in the shop and all that sort of thing. So that was all, those kind of two sort of things kind of inspired us a bit, and we're like, well, let's see if we can kind of come back and like create something that's kind of the same sort of feeling like back here.
Yeah. Was there like a mission statement of sort of particular bands or a particular sound that you wanted to sign, or was it an organic thing?
It was a pretty organic thing. I think at the time, it's kind of always been based on just what we liked, obviously. So I guess like at the time, we really liked psych music and psych rock and certain subgenres that kind of spill off that, like shoegaze and garage rock and... that was kind of the sort of foundation of it. And so I guess when we started it, it was very much like it was viewed as like a psych label, and that was what we wanted it to be sort of viewed as.
Yeah, I was hesitant to use that word though, because I think you've kind of gone far beyond it in the 9 years since.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think that's why I still think it's organic, because it's definitely like evolved over time, and I kind of wanted it. We both wanted it to evolve. It's just like, you know, you follow what music you think is unique, you know, and it's nice to see it evolve. I think I'd feel a bit funny if it was still trying to like keep pushing the same kind of music when, you know, people's taste changes and like everything around you changes, so you have to sort of change with it. But I still think at the end of the day, there's still very much this there's still like a reference point to that kind of psychedelic idea, I guess. And like, I think like our slogan is, you know, the weird and wonderful sounds of Third Eye Stimuli, and I think that whole idea of keeping things weird, like, I guess, like, outside of rock and all those kind of subgenres that kind of, you know, it's all those kind of artists that sort of sit on the fringe in some way. That, to me, is, like, what is timeless and, you know, it lives on beyond the kind of, like, pop trends and stuff.
Yeah, but I think it probably lives on because across the board with a lot of your sign-ins, the songwriting's quite classic. You know, they're using very interesting sounds and pulling influences from all sorts of places. But, I mean, yeah, it's like, yeah, timeless songwriting a lot of the times.
Yeah, I agree, for sure.
Tell the listener rattle off a couple of the bands you've signed over the 9 years.
Yeah, I mean, quite a few. It started off with the Jim Mitchells. They were, like, the first kind of signing. And then from then that we and Rick and I joined that band and did a whole there was a whole sort of time of being in that band and putting out those records, which was really awesome. And that was kind of also, I should say, like it was kind of also around that time that King Gizz was kind of coming up.
Yeah.
And they were started their Flightless thing and stuff as well. So it was kind of inspiring to see a band that started their own label as well. And so it was definitely like that was something that was quite inspiring too. But then once we kind of did the Jim Mitchells and we started looking at other bands, I don't know when, it was just at a certain point where we were like, oh, maybe we should start signing some other bands too. And then we signed, I think, Luke Spook, maybe, which was Luke Player from the Pinheads.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, because he was just doing really cool solo stuff that was just crazy and great. And then there was, I mean, I can't remember exactly the order, but yeah, Joe Gatt from New Zealand, he just literally just cold emailed me and I just was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard. Like,
wow.
It was just super obscure, like just came out of nowhere, didn't know who he was, and just, he just had made this incredible record that was just so cool. And then Rosa Maria and Chet Sounds, which came out of the Uplifting Bell Ends, and the Ugars, which were like a Northern Rivers band that was like a four-piece psych rock band, like these four girls that were really cool. And then from that, Gemma is doing her thing now called Gimme, which is another project which we're kind of working on, which is great. So many.
There's a lot of beautiful connections between the bands and the interchangeable players, or the kind of family element about,
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I get jealous of some of the caliber of musicians on your label, actually, like the Hot Apple guys.
Hot Apple Band, yeah, they're all amazing musicians. And Sunfruits as well was a big one that kind of, there's some bands that I've worked with literally from their first single and helped them kind of find their what they're kind of trying to do and get them through. I love working with artists that are doing their debut album. I just like, it's such a precious time for
getting
an artist
in on
to
ground
be,
zero.
Love it
before they've disappointed anyone. I like it. Get in early, get out fast. It's a great technique you got there. No, but this is 9 years on now, and we're kind of gearing up for a bit of a Third Eye Stimuli celebration. Are you throwing a gig 27th of August, a Wednesday night, the Metro Social? The Uplifting Bell Ends are going to headline. Who else have you got playing?
Hot Apple Band and Winter McQuinn is coming from Melbourne as well. I mean, like a lot of our gigs, I kind of always try to build them as just almost like there's not a headline because I think they're all great.
Names are equally sized on the poster. Yeah,
not a festival lineup vibe, right. But the Uplifting Bell Ends will play last, which they might not like that because Hot Apple Band and Winter McQuinn are pretty tight on stage.
Yeah,
where the Bell Ends are a bit looser.
Wow.
But they've got so much charisma on stage, so it's always a real fun time watching them play. It's gonna be a great night. Just three of the many bands on the label that I feel really passionate about and excited about. And, just really excited to have everyone in the room, you know, see lots of faces that are, you know, I've known for a while, or new faces that are getting around the label and just connecting with the community and stuff. I feel like that's what it started as, was doing lots of shows and connecting with people and putting on gigs. And, you know, we do King Street Crawl every year and all that sort of thing, and it gets harder to put on shows sometimes.
Absolutely.
So it's nice when you get to do that and get off the social media and all that sort of stuff and get in a room and watch some live music. It's pretty important.
Yeah. Will you be selling Third Eye Stimuli records on the night?
Sure will.
And it probably kicks off around 7?
Kicks off around 7, yeah. And we got... I'm going to spin records, but I'm almost thinking about maybe asking you to spin some records instead, but we'll have to talk about it later.
Oh, we'll talk about that later. And it is free entry, so if you're not doing anything, dear listener, Wednesday, 27th of August, come down and join us to celebrate Third Eye Stimuli Records, the 9-year anniversary. Why don't we play them one of the guys that are performing on the night? Should we do some Winter McQueen?
Sounds good.
In a bit, dear listener, you're on 2SER, Show's Heavy Demo, and tonight's a celebration.